Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Well, good morning. Beautiful day. Chilly day. I didn't realize my phone just gave me, for all of you people who planted, there's a freeze warning that just came across my phone. So if you have anything planted tonight, thankfully we're high enough up. My blackberries are all out. All my blooms are out. Anybody else? Boys, yours are, right? No, yours aren't. Yeah, mine are blooming, all bloomed out. Yeah. And I got peaches that big on the peach trees. So thankfully, well, we're higher up on the other end of the county. We serve a higher God, but we're higher in elevation. And thankfully, it's called the inversion effect. All of the frost now hangs low. So if you're low, please make sure you cover up anything that you want. Because it's, I don't know how cold it's going to get. It just said there's a freeze warning in effect tonight for the next 20, whatever, 2 or 3 hours, or it said something of that effect. So just please do that because it's beautiful, but it is not good this time of year when you end up with no fruit on your trees or whatever. It takes a little bit of effort. Those fragile flowers succumb to the freezing effect, and it's just life. Amen? In another month, we're going to be complaining about how hot it is. You're not going to hear me complain about it. I'm going to enjoy it. Amen? I'll be thankful for it. The older I get, I'm like those snowbirds in Florida. If you see me with a sweater on this summer, don't make no comments to me, because I might snap back like an old crotchety old man. I'm serious. Here's for just disclosure. So this morning, my back's been hurting. I got sick this week, y'all. I've been sick. Thanks for the prayer. Thank you, Eddie. Eddie is such a blessing. Amen. Thankful for Eddie. Eddie gets upset when we give him a pat on the back, but I'm thankful for him because I was sick. I called in to work Tuesday. I don't call in. It's been the second time in a year I have. But very thankful that Eddie was able to speak on Wednesday night, but I was sick. I had a fever, didn't know it until I went to the doctor, and I had that all that chest stuff, so bear with me if I'm able to make it through this without starting to cough. I'm not sick anymore, thankfully. But it's been a miserable week. Those who've had it this week have known what I'm talking about because there's been a lot of people with it. But God is just good. God is faithful. But this morning, because of not being well, my back's been hurting. So this morning I said, you know, I'll just wear my overalls. So I put my overalls on. I got a shirt on. And I walked out. And somebody in my home, I'm not going to tell you who, they laughed. And I said, what's so funny? And I was being real serious. They said, you're going to wear that? Yeah, I'm going to wear that. Oh, it's just not something you'd wear on Sunday. And I just had to quit back. I just sure wish we had a picture of Jesus this morning. This would look so funny. Because we have been conditioned, so conditioned, about the way that we think. And as a matter of fact, a dear brother in Christ, I've been seeing a dear friend, he's a pastor, he's not in ministry right now, he stepped away for about a year, he's been out about a year, and I said, you know, it's so interesting how we fashion what we think Jesus is, and he immediately said, oh yeah, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Jesus with long hair we see on the pictures, and I said, you got it. I said, first of all, it's a graven image. That's not what Jesus looked like. And by the way, because of the scripture in the New Testament, we know what Jesus' hair didn't look like. Jesus did not have a perm and long hair, church. I'm sorry, because scripture even talks about men not having long hair. It is a biblical thing. It's not what I say, but it's just the scriptural context of things that we get so off. If I'd have wore my overalls this morning, because I actually ended up changing them, I haven't felt good this week. And you know, when you're not doing well, if you're not feeling good, you have to prevent things around you, right? Why? Because if you go to work and you're not in a mood to have somebody attack you, You make sure that you kind of dress accordingly so that you don't end up in a battle that you know that you're not prepared for, right? Amen? I took those off. And I said to the person, kind of glad that happened because I probably would not have responded good this morning had I worn those and someone said something to me about it. Amen? Hence, the pastor friend that I've spent the last 3 weeks with, about an hour a day for 3 days a week for the last 3 weeks. He had a really tough go. He was actually pastor of a very large church, and a few select people in the church turned on him, and it caused him great heartache, pain, and hurt. So it was interesting because this week I made a comment about a Bible verse. I said, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And his initial reaction was he actually got real... And I went, whoa, where'd that come from? And it took him about 3 seconds, and he went, man, I'm so sorry. I said, brother, I'm on your team. And I was just asking you about what your thoughts were on a scripture verse. So it's interesting how we as Christians have to be so careful, because I shared with him what Mike Glenn, the retired pastor from Brentwood Baptist Church, shared with me many years ago. He said to me as a pastor, the bride of Christ is a wicked mistress, meaning it is a danger sometimes if we're not careful. My friend experienced that. And church, pray for pastors all over. I told him, I said, I could not have asked for a more incredible church for the 16 years. And I said, his name's John. I said, John, because I'm going to be honest with you, I would not have done well dealing with what he dealt with. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm a type A personality and I'm very direct. Y'all know that? Amen. And I said, I would not have done well being attacked like you were attacked. And it was just the enemy. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, dark forces in the heavenly realms. Amen? Jeff, what happened halfway through the service last Sunday? Did not the computers crash? Spiritual warfare, church. We don't give in to that, do we? Praise God. We serve a bigger God than he's bigger. And I'm so thankful that God has placed me at Longview Baptist Church. And I'm thankful today that he's on the throne. And I'm thankful that our church body is not in the habit. I can't even really tell you the number of times in 17 years almost now, the 17th year, 16 years under the belt, that I've had to deal with that. I'm so thankful for that. So I pat you on the back in a loving, compassionate way, but always be aware that the enemy's looking for ways with which to destroy. Amen? But Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So I'm thankful for the prayers this week. So thankful for God's faithfulness. So thankful that God has given me an ever awareness of my weaknesses and my God's power is made perfect in weakness. And if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. God led me to a verse this week that I want to encourage you in. I pray that it does. The title of the message this morning is, We Cannot Fathom. And God laid this message on my heart out of all of the things that I'm continuing to see. It's not a day that goes by that we don't see something about Israel, what's going on in Israel, the attacks on not only the physical attacks on the nation, but the more vile and virile attacks in the media. Be very careful where you read, what you read, because there's a lot of really jaded stuff out there. Extremely jaded stuff. And let me encourage you in something. No matter how bleeding your heart might be, stand with Israel. Why do I say that? I say that because stand with the Bible. Stand with God's Word. Always stand on the side of truth. And God's Word is truth. The Bible says, I will bless those that bless Israel, and I will curse them that curse them. So no matter what you hear, trust in God, God's plan, God's faithfulness. And so it's very difficult because as another thing, we're going to, so kind of an inside scoop on something God's working as a message in the future here. Something interesting, we always talk about America repenting. You know, if America repent, America repent, America repent. If America will get right, things are going to get straight. We just got to get everybody else to understand what we're saying, and we got to get America to repent. Actually, let me give you a little insight. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's not referencing the rest of America. It's referencing those inside the hula hoop. Who's in the hula hoop? The hula hoop is believers, Christians. Born again followers of Christ Jesus, not religious people, people that have a relationship with Christ. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will... That doesn't talk about the lost. That's talking about Christians. So, just be praying as God lay. He's been all over me. I've been excited about it. Hadn't even written the first word yet. It's all in my head. That's how God does it. He gets it all in my head straightened out, and then I put it on paper. But continue to pray about that, because the power of what those words say and us ultimately usually believing that that has to deal with the wickedness of America. The wickedness of America has no hope until believers have a massive revival amongst themselves. Because church, there is heresy, there is misguided doctrine, there is just ungodliness from every level purveying from quote-unquote Christian circles all over the place. People that are quote-unquote professed followers of Jesus Christ who have become apathetic, indifferent, unconcerned. They don't care, much less the Bible talks about the scripture, what is it, in the end times, the love of most will grow cold. We have seen that. That's not the world, because love cannot be obtained if it's not of God. So these are people who were, from all appearances, followers of Jesus Christ, that the love has grown cold. So my prayer is that God would do whatever God's desire is in cultivating this sermon that I was going to share with you in the months, whenever God has me, gives me the freedom to share that and direction to share that, but that we get a biblical insight on that, because it's so easy for us to look at the lost and say if they would get right, when in reality, the getting right needs to happen among followers of Christ that really see the Revelation chapter 3. You have lost your first love, the church at Ephesus. They're doing all these religious things, but if you are not doing the religious things out of a heart of love for Christ Jesus, who has transformed you and is conforming you into his likeness, church is nothing more than works. Faith without works is dead. And I hope this morning that God encourages you in that as you begin to pray for me, as God leads in that. But even today, as all of this goes on, I lead back to this. We cannot fathom. We can't fathom what God's doing. We can't fathom how God's working all things together for good. We can't fathom how we see things, and because in our finite mind, which means finite is limited, we are limited. We are limited by time. We are limited by space. We are limited in every respect. And what's so ironic is, you know, now that we're getting into the quantum computing era, I hope that those of you who I'd shared that story about quantum computing, way above my ability to understand, but 2020, 60 Minutes, or whoever it was that did that expose on it, gave me really the best understanding that I could understand and have and gain on quantum computing. It doesn't matter when quantum computing has been trumped, meaning whenever they've gotten something even better than that, they're never going to understand the mind of God. They will never understand the infinites of God. And I'm thankful for that, because God cannot be understood. His ways are above our ways, his thoughts above our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. And I pray this morning, though, that as we see God's word, as we read God's word, as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, that we would come to the place where we, in faith, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, are able to rest our fears, our doubts, our insecurities, our need for affirmation, our need for validation in human terms, that we would lay all that in the all-sufficiency of Christ, that we not need man's validation. We want man's validation in the love of Christ, meaning, God, I want to see the affirming truth of Christ, reassurance of knowing that I am making an impact for the kingdom as I love, as you've called me to, but that all of that cease in the all-sufficiency of Christ, meaning the thing that we need to be validated in is in the finished work of Him. And I pray that that is what you're striving for and desiring as you walk in the nurture and the admonition of the Holy Spirit. I hope you found Ecclesiastes chapter 11, again, verse 5. And if you're physically able this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Just as you don't know the path of the wind or how the bones develop in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you don't know the work of God who makes everything. Father, thank you, Lord, this morning, God, for your word, Lord, for the beauty of it, the truth of it, the power of it, Lord, the finished work of salvation, the gospel truth, the message. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Jesus, Lord, who made all things new in the new covenant, Father, who paid the price for our sin. And Lord, we are able this morning to be objects of your mercy because of his death, because he bore our shame, our guilt, our hurt, our separation. Father, thank you, Lord, that today we've been made whole through his sacrifice. Father, speak to our hearts through your word. Father, speak boldly, loudly. Lord, let us yield our wants, our wills, and our desires in the finished work of salvation in Christ. Lord, we commit all this to you. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, and we ask this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And you may be seated. First part of verse 5 again. So, just as you don't know the path of the wind. As I reflected on that this week and was thinking about the wind, weather interests me. I wish, you know, I could afford one of those really fancy weather stations. You know, I've got a somewhat fancy one, but the wind part of it and the rain measuring part of it, you know, stopped in about 3 months after I got it. I've got two of those. I went up and screwed the one down next to the other one a few years ago, but I wish I could afford one that actually would work for an extended period of time. I enjoy the weather. I guess that it shows that I'm really getting old, right? Right? I wear compression socks on Mondays and Tuesdays. They come up to my knees. Yes. I don't enjoy the old man shoes yet. You know which ones those are? They have Velcro on them. And you really don't care that they don't look like, you know, you go and buy them at $9 at Walmart. I'm not there. I'm out. Actually, I'm really out on that. I went through the Velcro stage back in the 80s. Didn't like that when it happened. Only the convenience, because it was too much time to tie your shoes. But I'm enjoying certain parts of it. Get AARP, you can go pound dirt. Amen? You can have your 50-cent coffee. I'll pay $1.20. I'm not old. I'm young. I'm young. Don't want no flannels. Don't give me a shirt. Don't give me underwear. Don't give me socks. Give me a toy that I can go out and have fun with. I'm young, young at heart. But what I am learning is that meteorologists are way overpaid. I think it was Friday this week. There wasn't supposed to be any rain. I woke up and I'm thankful because I had some grass that needed to be watered. And it rained. And then Saturday, it wasn't supposed to rain. And I woke up in the morning and sure enough, Lord, thank you, it rained. And for a little while this morning, there was a chance of rain today, but they had said there wasn't going to be a chance of rain. So they don't have a clue what the weather is doing. Literally, they don't have a clue. And as I thought about that and as I meditated that and all the times that I thought that it wasn't going to rain or it was going to rain and all the different things that they say they're going to do and don't know if it's going to snow and then it snows and then they say it's going to snow and it doesn't snow. That's what this is talking about. See, God's work, number one this morning is this. God's work is as unpredictable to human understanding as the wind. There is not an ability for us in any way to comprehend the mind of God, though we feel sometimes that we do. How many times have we prayed for something and we believe that we're praying according to God's will and the lost loved one of this child, this prodigal child that you know, God, we raised them to love the Lord. We've raised them to serve the Lord. And God, what's wrong with them? We didn't raise them like that. And you want to jerk them up and you want to beat them half dead. We want to straighten them out. And then we're in God's presence and we're saying, God, save them, straighten them up, fix them. And he doesn't do it that way, that time, and the way that we believe that he should. And then what the next thing we're doing is we're like a three-year-old child mad at God because God didn't do what we thought he should have done because we prayed the way we were supposed to and he didn't do it. And then, Lord, why? Why didn't you do that? Because that's what your will is and you should answer because this is important and salvation's important and this is not happening like it's supposed to. Okay? God's God. And God's timing's not our time. A day is just 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just a day. None of us understands the magnitude of God's ability to take these circumstances, and what's so ironic is the massive scale with which God can affect people, situations, and one little thing that could even happen in Cambodia today could directly impact something that happens in the life of our child here tomorrow. It is so incomprehensible, unable to be comprehended or understood. That's God. But see, God's work for us appears unpredictable. Because in our understanding, it is. We can't comprehend it. Because in our understanding, it doesn't make sense, it cannot make sense, and it can't due to the fact that we are bound by the finite. We are bound by what we understand, and Scripture says the secret things. He has revealed to us the revealed things, but the secret things are God's. They're His. They always will be until the old order is passed away. To me, it's comforting that I don't understand the mind of God. For many people, they have a problem with that. I don't know why. To me, that's where my faith becomes the reality. And that's, you know, my parents growing up, God was as real to me growing up as you could ever even imagine. He was almost this tangible being growing up because my parents made salvation, truth, godliness, right? It was just so real growing up. I can't even explain it. It's again, that even is unable to be understood. It was just real. And when we prayed, I remember as a child having that childlike faith. And the world wasn't a bad place, by the way, when I grew up. It was actually a really safe place. And even though I didn't realize this, we grew up in South Florida, in the middle of the most dangerous place in the country at that point. If you've ever watched the documentary Cocaine Cowboys, the place where they were dumping all of these drug dealers and things was literally just a mile or two down the street from my home. I had no idea. I lived in complete, absolute safety and security and serenity in this wonderful bubble and had not one clue of the violence occurring all around me as a child. Not one iota of understanding, which I'm very thankful that my parents were able to raise me in that environment and me never know the dangers that existed all around me. See, that's the way God is. There's all these dangers ever present around us on any given day that we can't even begin to even see. Have you ever ridden down the road and looked for dangers? Is anybody? Don't do it. Because it's really horrifying. When you think about it, any given time, riding down the road, I think about, what if that tire off that car comes off? It loses immediate control, and the next thing it can only do is head in my direction. Those are the things that if you really think about all the different dangers that surround us on any given day, you would be a disaster. You'd actually be on medication. Or you wouldn't get in a car, and you'd be reclused at the house, hiding in the center of your house on not a load-bearing wall, right? Because it's going to collapse on you. And we would be scared about all of these things. But see, God knows all of them. God knows every time that you and I get into a car. God's supernatural protection extends to everything that we are as a believer. And to me, that's great comfort, especially in light of the fact that from the world's perspective, it seems so unsafe and unpredictable. I'm so thankful that nothing can happen before Scripture says the days that have been ordained before what? The foundations of the world. So no matter what happens to us, now, you don't go jump off a cliff and test God. Scripture talks about exclusively about not doing that. It's not a wise thing to do, but we have the sovereign protection of God, and though we don't understand how it happens, it does not cheapen or make it any less applicable or powerful. See, God's work is as unpredictable to us as humans and our understanding as the wind itself. When God promises to never leave us and never forsake us, can you even imagine what that means? We can't. Is there anybody in here that can say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my spouse, there's no way possible in human comprehension that they will or could ever leave me? If you raise your hand, you're foolish. We pray by God's sovereign grace, His mercy, and the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? God forbid that something go astray in my spouse's mind and I be left standing there going, what happened? I don't know many people that go, oh yeah, it was, we knew it. No. People go, I don't know what happened. This, I don't know. We don't know this. There is the uncertainty of the human finite, but it is in this certainty of God that we draw our peace. This morning, I draw the certainty of my peace in the unchanging nature of the promise of God. The promise of God is that He always has been, He always will be. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He does not change. The love of God cannot and will not change. God's love for me and you is as consistent as anything could be for time and space. It cannot change. His love for us cannot change. He loves us as much right now as the moment that Christ Jesus rose from the grave. He knows your name. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows what you're battling inside right now. You ready? That your spouse doesn't know about. He's there. And what is the biblical call? Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's this perpetual call from God that's saying, come to me. Are you worried? Are you stressed? Are you worried the unpredictability of everything around you? Come to me. Give it to me. What he's saying? This constant call to come. Well, wait a second. I mean, I got to start to work on this before God. No, he says, come to me as you are. Heavy laden, tired, worn out, stressed out. Come. The unpredictability of God ends, the unpredictability of life ends in the predictability of God. Because his promise in that is, and I will give you rest. So are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you worried? Because nothing is predictable. They can't predict the weather. I don't know if I'll have a job tomorrow. Look at these companies week in and week out. There's nothing predictable about the job market now. When I was younger, we were at the tail end of this, but you went to work for a corporation and you retired from them. You had a company pension. You know, some of the state employees, they don't have it now, but I don't remember, I guess 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they changed from the federal employment with a lot of the state workers now, and now it's not. You know, they've gone to basically a self-funded thing now, so it's not like it used to be. You used to get your vacation and your sick time, and if you got sick, they took care of you. It's not like that now. Everything's changed. The average tenure now, 15 years ago of a Southern Baptist pastor was 18 to 24 months. That was the average tenure. That's heartbreaking. Why is that heartbreaking? Because church, I couldn't even get to know you guys before 5 plus to really 10 years. You can't even really start to grow with people. And thank the Lord now, you know, I've got people whose children were babies when they came here that now y'all, they're married or just about married. You finished high school, and it's awesome because I'm walking through generationally with you now. Some of these ones who were very young, 8, 9, 10 years old, now have kids, and we're walking through this generational. It's so awesome. It's such a comfort to see these faces that you continue. You get to know them, and when they need help, they know they can reach out to you. They're not going, oh, I don't know about this new pastor we got. I haven't really met him yet, and I don't want to. I just don't know. I don't trust him because I don't know him. No, y'all know me, and it's so exciting that you can call, hey, Brother Jonathan, hey, I just need you to pray for me. This might seem like not a big thing, but no, I know it's a big thing. It's not a big deal. Trust me, I'm here for you. I love you. That's what's so exciting about that, but see, that's not the majority of the world now. It's not. And of all the things right now we need the consistency in and the certainty in is in our walk with Him. Walk with Christ. We have relationships with one another, but ultimately each one of us is going to lay each other in the arms of the Lord one day, and it's going to be Him as the only one we're ultimately going to have at the end of the day. Because all of us are getting older. We've got young ones in here, yes, but that circle of life, they're growing and building relationships with them, and as we are getting older and we're just doing this perpetual, the circle of life. When I so excited about today is we can't fathom not only what God has in store, but also the mind of God is something that cannot be fully grasped. But the concepts of Him we can grasp. Listen to the second part of verse 5. Or how the bones develop in the womb of a pregnant woman. That's fascinating. Has anybody ever seen the developing stages of a child in utero? God's awesome. I mean, God is awesome. How? By the way, if a baby developed or a child developed after they are birthed at the rate they did in the womb, do you imagine what we'd look like? We'd be massive. We would be massive. Can anybody in here explain how this occurs? How an egg and sperm, what? I'm sorry. One of the little cats we have, one of the cats outside had babies this week. To me, that blew me away. This little cat, stomach ended up getting really big, and now there's, how did four of those come out of that? I mean, it's God. It's God's creative order, God's creative design. And then, you know, they're worried, oh, I wonder if something happened to them. Well, I don't know. You never know. And I said, well, pick up the cat and look and see if they've been drinking. That's how you can tell. Pick it up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh, I wonder how they learned to do that. How in the world did they learn to do that? Moms, you have a baby, right? Oh, no, wait, it's going to break. Dad doesn't want to touch it because he's scared it's going to fall apart. It's been happening from time in history, hadn't it, church? People have babies, and what happens? You learn to do it. Why? Because God has ingrained us with the blueprint of what our creative purpose is. But also, He's put eternity in the hearts of man. So this morning, when we're thinking about conceptually eternity and we're thinking about salvation and we're thinking about our place in it and all of this stuff, we realize we have a reason for living. We have a God that spared no detail. Just like in that verse, how the bones develop in the womb of a pregnant woman, which leads to the second thing I want to share with you, this. The finite cannot understand the infinite mind of God. We never will. The finite can never understand the infinite mind of God. This is what's ironic. We can see like cars and things that cars can do today. What's wild is almost, they've actually got one, but I don't have $100,000. All of the things I ever wanted to do in life, if I had $100,000 extra, I would fulfill that this week. I'd go buy one of those new little things you can get in, and you sit in this cockpit and you take off and you're able to fly. It's only about 20 minutes. Has anybody seen those? Yep, it's a drone you can actually get in and fly now. In my lifetime, I wanted to fly like that, like a hovering type flight. I wanted cars that could drive themselves. My son promised he was going to make a pair of make a car that drove itself for his mom one day. He didn't get that. Somebody else has. But just about everything that I ever dreamed as a child has almost occurred. Doesn't leave a whole lot of ambition for this life, does it? Just about everything in this life, think about it. All the creature comforts. Maybe you don't think about the fact that right now we're in this nice controlled environment and that those boxes outside that turn on and make that noise and start blowing air. When it's hot outside, we have cold air. And when it's cold outside, we have hot air. And when you're in your little car riding down the road, it never escapes me. And I thank God for it all the time. We can turn on if you have climate control or you have the regular cheap stuff that you just turn the fan on and set the temperature. It doesn't matter. It does the same thing, doesn't it? We're able to drive down the road in luxury. Even if you have a cheap 1988 Mitsubishi Mirage, you are in much more comfort than most people around the globe are. And we are able to go and drive at 60, 70, 80 miles an hour in the rain, not freezing, not burning up. We are so blessed. We're not Longview 100 years ago right now that not only was air conditioning not an option, but in the wintertime, Mr. George L. used to have to come in here and light the fire in the center of the building in that little wood stove hours before church started so they'd have some semblance of warmth. We are so blessed. Are you recognizing the gift of, you ready? The gift of human foolishness, but understanding that we serve the infinite God, who though we cannot ever cover all of the bases, we won't. I don't care how much OCD you have in you. I don't care how much dog you've got in you, meaning that drive to do something. There is absolutely no way you'll ever cover all the bases that I will ever cover all the bases, but we serve somebody who does. He's got it. As a matter of fact, let me just go back to the very beginning that I remember as a child. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. He's got it all in his hand. God doesn't even have to think about it to do it. That's the power and the infinite of God. See, we think, I don't know how God can count all the hairs at one time. God doesn't even have to think about it. That's the power of God. Quantum computing's got nothing on the infinites of God, the power of God. And to me, church, it brings me the peace of God. Because in total faith, I can rest in the fact that no matter what this morning I may be facing, I didn't know last Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning my throat was going to start feeling scratchy. I didn't know by 3 o'clock I was going to have an almost migraine-level headache. I didn't have a clue what the trajectory of my week was when I came in here last Sunday morning. And do you realize you don't? There's people that have been in the obituary this week all over this country that were just like you and I, sitting in churches and some not in churches, sitting in their normal life, having no clue that that was the last week that they'd ever breathe breath. But see, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he knew. And as a matter of fact, nothing could change that time, that divinely appointed time when you and I walk off into eternity. My question, what if it's this week for you or me? Are you resting in the infinites of that God? Have you placed your faith and trust in that Lord? Are you preparing like you'll live another 1,000 years, but today living like it's your last day? Because there's another reality, and it's the fragility of life, the fragile nature with which life is. One small imbalance. Church, it's over. I see this almost daily. Some small imbalance is created And the next thing you know, someone's in a fight for their life. It doesn't escape God, and I'm so thankful for that. But church, there's no promises. Not one of us in here has any promises but the promises of God, because everything in the finite realm is passing away, giving way to the glory of an eternity in God's presence. Are you preparing now for what comes next? Listen, last part of verse 5. So you don't know the work of God who makes everything. So I'll read it all again real quick. Just as you don't know the path of the wind, the bones develop in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you don't know the work of God or who makes everything. Leads to the third and final thing I want to share with you this morning, and it's this. Let the all-inspiring power of God be your peace. Now, if you're a control freak, I hate to tell you, I did not give you something to be encouraged about. I'm sorry. Because the older I get, the less control I want, I find amazing peace in that. As a matter of fact, the more I realize I don't know, the more comfort I take in not only God's Word, God's truth. I'm reading through, just got done reading, Saul and his boys are literally getting ready to die right now where I'm at in the Bible. You know, I've watched this whole entire elevating of David to the throne, you know, in Gedi and all these opportunities that David had to take revenge on Saul. By the way, it's like divinely orchestrated too, where God was saying, you can have him right now. But David say, who am I to lay my hands on God's anointed? No way, not going to do it. Watching so much integrity in the heart, the mind, and life of David, even rebuking his men when they were encouraging him to kill Saul. Just watching this beautiful unfolding, even within the sin that sadly so many people had engaged in, and the sin of the Israelites and basically prostituting themselves out to foreign gods, to idols and idolatry, and then the brokenness with which would follow the repentance and then God's love and his restoration, just a beautiful picture of that. It's also, though, the picture of us. Where are you at this morning in your faith? Faith in relation to your obedience spiritually. Are you making excuses for why you're not doing what you should do and just writing it off as, God, you know, you know, Lord. Are you sitting in and week out making excuses for what you should be doing? Wiping your mouth, proverbially, what have I done? When your heart is a heart that is in rebellion, I'm not saying you're not a believer. I'm asking you today, are you living in obedience to the call of a disciple? Or have you fallen into fandom as a fan of religion, Christianity, the things of the Lord? Falling into complacency and apathy and indifference because why? Well, I'm busy. Really? To be busy about the kingdom work. The work that endures. This thing that is passing away is worthless. But the glory of Christ is eternal. The work of Christ is eternal. The call of Matthew chapter 25 is an inescapable reality for me. And I hope you. Whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done unto me. Whatever you did not do to the least of these, you did not do unto me. Read that if you don't know what I'm talking about. Get to know that and recognize that is the reality of what we're facing, church. Obedience is what is characterized by someone who is in yielded submission to the Father. But ones who sit back and say, what? I never saw the need in the first place. That is indicative of goats, of people who may know about truth, know about righteousness, know about godliness, but they've never become a follower. They might be fans, religious. See, we can't fathom the truth right now. I'm going to tell you, if you're in here and you're complacent and apathetic, I would encourage you to watch some news then, some overseas news about what's going on in Israel. And then I would encourage you to get in the book, Ezekiel, and read chapters 37 through 40. And I don't care who you are, if you read that, you're going to say, wait a second, something looks like it's pretty lined up here some way or another. No, I'm not telling you today, oh, Lord's coming back next week. I'm not going to do that. And by God's grace, I'll never fall into the foolishness of that. But church, the time draweth nigh. There's my King James for you this morning. What is the time drawing nigh? The time's drawing nigh where time, space, and eternity is going to cease as we know it, and the old order of things is going to pass away. And this time's coming. We can't fathom what's coming. We can't fathom the time frame that it is. And I believe truly, if God was to open right now a proverbial time clock and we saw what was left, you'd probably get weak in your knees, turn pale white, and freak out. I'm serious. Because never in my life have I seen the shaking that's going on spiritually all over the globe and the attacks, the spiritual warfare that even this body of Christ is enduring is unprecedented. When I started pastoring Longview 16 years ago, I remember, and if you were here, you remember hearing me talk about urgency. I had this overwhelming sense of urgency. I did not know if I was going to die or what. I had no idea, but I felt and I still feel this sense of urgency. What? I don't know what it is. I still to this day can't pinpoint it. I have no idea. My best assumption is that God has given me this overwhelming realization that time is exceedingly short. Now, would I have told you, oh, Brother Jonathan, you think God will be coming back next 5 years? I don't know. I know from what Scripture says, I'll prepare like it's going to happen today. And if it's 50 years from now, praise God, glory, hallelujah, that's fine too. But I want you to understand something this morning. Evening's coming. What is evening? Meaning the sunset of life, time, and eternity is coming. This is consequential stuff I'm talking about, meaning it's not inconsequential, small. Consequential means it's extremely important. And what I'm sharing with you today is extremely important. Why? Because you can't go back and change what you didn't do. And if you're here this morning and you're a professed believer living in abject disobedience to the call of a disciple, I would challenge you this morning, not because I say it, but because your redemption draweth nigh. Get serious about what God's commanded you and I to do, because as disciples, the Great Commission cannot be the great omission in obedience. It has to be yielded to. The Great Commission calls us to go and make disciples, teaching them everything I've commanded you. That is not a suggestion. It's not the great suggestion. It is the Great Commission. And we were commissioned to go and do that and make disciples. Are you a disciple maker? I'll ask you. Have you ever led anybody to saving faith in Jesus Christ? You answer that yourself. If you'd say no, I'd say, why not? You can't tell me in all the years that you shared your story with people that one person hadn't finally said, I want what you have. By the way, that's the quickest way for somebody to tell you, I want to get saved. I can't tell you the number of times someone has literally looked at me and said, I want what you have. I knew exactly what they were talking about. It wasn't finances. It wasn't my family. They wanted what I had in here. And if this morning no one's ever asked you or said to you, I want what you have, I want to ask you, why not? Maybe the odds are just in the fact, maybe you've shared it 1,000 times. You keep sharing because somebody one day is going to say, I want what you have. They will. But I ask you today, has someone never done that because you've never shared with them what God has done in your life? Because we can't fathom the importance of that. Church, we can't fathom the infinites of God, but we also cannot fathom the magnitude of disciples that are nothing more than disciples in name, not in life. It matters. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Naked, you clothed me. Sick and in prison, you visited me. And I ask you this morning, are you a disciple? Are you a disciple maker? Do you desire to be involved in the kingdom work? I'll be honest with you, Friday night was a hard night. The call of doing what we did with children that have been affected in ways like they've been affected was not easy. If you were here, you know what I'm talking about. But it mattered to them. And as frustrated as you can get at times when kids are acting in ways that are not conducive to good relational skill, God created them just like He created me and you. See, nobody's ever going to care how much you know until they know how much you care. I'm experiencing that now at work after almost a year. In 10 days, it'll be a year. And some of those people that have not really, they've just kind of stayed on the outliers of me. I'm now having conversations with, because see, they were sitting back waiting. They were waiting to see, what's this person about? Are they talking about that God stuff, but then they live? I'm going to sit back and watch. Some of whom have been harmed by organized religion. We have to realize that. See, we can't not only fathom the person of God, but we can't fathom the blessings that God has for us when we yield our lives in yielded obedience to Him. But we have to do that. We can't just sit back and will it into being. We have to make an overt act of our will to wake up and say, God, I want to be a disciple maker. God, I want to change the world for you, Lord, not for me, not my kingdom. It's not the Longview Baptist that Brother Jonathan is at the helm of. No, we are all pastors, missionaries. We all are disciples. All of us. God just happened to call me to do this part of it, but this doesn't change. You and I stand in a line together. I'm not in an elevated position looking down on you all. I'm with you, walking with you. I'm a servant leader. If anything, I'm below you. That's what God's called us to be. Disciple makers. Are you a disciple maker, church? Are you overwhelmed by the infinites of God? Are you overwhelmed in the finite abilities that you and I have? But what's so great is it, our inabilities become abilities in God's time, God's power, God's work. This morning, are you so overwhelmed with what's going on around? You're packed up and looking to the east, and that's all you're doing now? Stop, because you're living in a disobedience if you're doing that. We've got work to do. There's people that don't know Jesus right now that we're responsible for, church. Are you serious about the call? Or right now, have you been distracted? And I leave you with that. It matters. You know why it matters? Because we're going to run into people this week that don't know Jesus. And there's a potential that it might be the last time that they ever have a follower of Christ stand in front of them with an opportunity to share with them the story that God has worked out in their life. Are you ready for the privilege and the opportunity this week when it happens? Are you praying for those? God, equip me, prepare me, lead me. God, don't let me be distracted by self. Don't let me be caught in the self-righteousness, the self-focus. God, when I am approached with those situations, let me see them. God, put the words in my mouth. Is that your prayer? Is, first of all, that your heart? If it's not, I got a prayer for you today if your desire is to be that. God, I'm a finite, broken vessel right now that I'm just now realizing the magnitude and the implications of what I've not been doing. Father, break my heart for what breaks yours. Give me a desire for what you desire in my life. Lord, lead me, guide me, direct me, but first forgive me, Father. Forgive me for my disobedience, for my apathy and my complacence and all of the things and excuses that you've been giving them and I've been giving them. God, today, forgive me and restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Father, let me be a lighthouse, a beacon. Let me be a lamp high, lifted high, so that the world might see Christ Jesus in me, that they might say, I want what you have. What is that? An open invitation to share the good news of what Jesus Christ has given you and given me. But more importantly, after that initial act of salvation, the call of a disciple is to be a disciple maker. Church, are you a disciple maker? If not, I challenge you this morning to become one. The only thing that I can't put in you is a desire to be one. Only God can do that, and through your obedience, you yield yourself to that. And as we close in prayer and we prepare for the invitation, I ask you, are you a disciple maker? Are you walking in the finite, hand in hand with the infinites of God, allowing God to lead, to guide, direct every step you take? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, this morning, this privilege we have to be here. Father, the privilege of not only reading your word, God, but speaking to our hearts. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, in light of all that we see around us, we can become so overwhelmed, discouraged, even to the point, Father, that many times we fall out of a place of obedience, God, because we feel it's hopeless and pointless. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that we would not do that, that we would realize we need to prepare like another 1,000 years ahead of us, Father, but live every day like it's our last. God, thank you for Ecclesiastes this morning, Lord, and helping us understand that, Lord, you are an infinite God. You have no limits, no bounds. God, we praise you, Lord, this morning that we are finite, that we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, Lord. And I pray this morning that each and every person here or watching online is in the business and engaging in that right now. But Father, if not, during this invitation time, I pray, God, that there would be a confession of sin, the sin of not going out and being a disciple maker, the sin of not sharing what you've done in our lives and in our hearts. God, that we would confess the complacency and the apathy and whatever has led us to that place. No excuses, Father, just a total yielding of ourselves to you. God, I pray today that you would make us disciple makers like never before. Fill us with a compassion and a passion, Lord, to share what you have done in our lives. Thank you, Father, for saving us, for cleansing us, for washing us. Thank you for what Jesus did on the cross for us and us being able to be your righteousness this morning, Lord, because you became sin for us. God, we praise you. We glorify your holy, your precious, and your righteous name. Lord, I pray this morning if there's one here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, watching online, that today would be the day that they recognize their need for a Savior, they confess their sin, place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and ask you to be their Savior and Lord of their life. Lord, we commit all this to you, and we ask this in the name above all names, our Lord, our Savior, our King, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You're here this morning.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.